Among the executive orders signed already by President Biden was one calling on the CDC to extend its nationwide moratorium on most evictions through the end of March. The ban had been extended twice already through executive action by President Trump and again by Congress. It was set to expire on January 31st. Biden is also hoping for $25 billion of new rental assistance as part of his economic relief plan. He talked about that plan last week.
We'll take action to extend nationwide restrictions on evictions and foreclosures. This will provide more than 25 million Americans greater stability instead of living on the edge every single month. And I'm asking Congress to do its part by funding rental assistance for 14 million hard-hit families and tenants.
We're taking a look now at the impact of the eviction moratorium and what people should know before it's eventually lifted. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you had trouble paying rent during the course of the pandemic? Is the extension of the eviction ban good news for you? If you're a property owner, how are you doing after almost 5 months of the moratorium, more months of the disease and the economic problems it's caused? What is communication like between you and your tenants? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Mitch is a clinical law professor and director of the Economic Justice Institute at the University of Wisconsin-Madison Law School. He's an expert on rental housing law and a property owner himself. Mitch, thanks for joining us today.
Happy to be here.
Well, this is a moratorium on evictions, but it doesn't block all evictions, if I understand it correctly. What does this federal moratorium actually do?
So the moratorium, this has been in place now since September 4th. It stops evictions due to non-payment of rent. So for folks who cannot pay rent and who have filled out a declaration saying that they've taken certain steps in order to make basically every best effort that they can to obtain assistance and pay as much rent as possible, if they're not able to meet their full rental obligation or any rental obligation, they should not be evicted if they complete that declaration and give that to their property owner.
So on the advice side for that renter who's having trouble paying, I guess the message there is don't just stop paying. There are steps you need to take to be eligible for this moratorium. Is that right?
That's right. And as a matter of fact, I mean, on the advice side of things, what I say is actually I would tell property owners, don't evict someone who's not paying rent right now, because even if someone doesn't fill out the declaration saying that they've made every effort, what's happening is you're violating the spirit of the law. The spirit of the law is to create stability, right, which is really important right now. And there is additional money coming down the line here from the federal government. It's being given to the states and made available. Actually, with a bill signed in late December, there's going to be another allotment of money coming to the states. So the best thing for a lessor or property owner to do is to not kick out their renters, because if they do, they won't be able to access some of this money, which will be able to go to pay existing renters' rents, and it will go directly to property owners so long as those renters help the property owners in filling out the forms. So you want to keep your renters in place so that you can get some stabilizing funds.
What are we seeing when it comes to people falling behind on their rent over this year, basically, of pandemic?
So many. According to some studies and some surveys that have been done, you know, as many as 34% of renters in Wisconsin is one number that I've seen from a study done, have had struggled with paying rent, 34% of renting households. So that's a large number, certainly larger than normal. You know, in the ordinary rental housing market, we see evictions happen all the time. And right now we aren't seeing that, but certainly there are property owners who are feeling it, right? They're feeling not being able to get rent, not being able to pay their mortgage. There's a sense to sort of lash out at renters who aren't paying, but nobody wants to not pay their rent. Everybody wishes that they were still employed and still able to pay their rent. So it's really about banding together owners and renters and really everyone and saying, you know, we need to continue to stabilize the economy and not have, you know, even more sort of economic disruption amidst this global pandemic.
We're talking to Mitch, clinical law professor at the UW-Madison Law School, looking at an eviction moratorium extended for another couple months, just last night, basically. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Are you having rent trouble as a tenant or as a landlord? Do you have questions about how this works? Are there things you'd like to see from the state or federal government on the issue of people having trouble meeting their rent? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. And Mitch, you mentioned property owners. Is there a concern that we're going to, you know, lose some of our rental property companies, maybe our smaller ones in particular, because they're not getting the revenue they counted on to, as you said, help pay the mortgages for their buildings?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, every single business, right? I mean, there is not a business that hasn't been impacted by the pandemic. You know, streaming viewership is up, but most businesses, like restaurants, are, you know, are struggling. And the rental property business is exactly that. It's a business which has generally been quite rock solid because everybody needs a place to live. Rental property owners have been in this pretty lucky position of being generally able to collect most of their rent. And when they can't, they can go through a legal eviction process to really quickly get somebody out of a home if they aren't paying rent normally, and then try to get somebody else in. And so that's sort of the normal trained response behavior is if someone doesn't pay, you move to evict them and you get somebody else in who can. And the problem is right now, you can't evict people who aren't paying. And moreover, we're seeing folks who are being non-renewed, which is sort of a loophole in this law. Some people who are being non-renewed or they're being evicted for reasons that technically don't have to do with non-payment of rent. And the tricky part is, how do you get somebody in who can pay rent during a pandemic when unemployment rates are really, really high and payments are way down, you know, income is down. My suggestion is to work with your renters, keep them in place, keep the stability in your local communities, get access to the funding that's coming in. Because the trained sort of response that everybody in the rental market does, it does not work for this sort of situation.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234 as we talk about an eviction moratorium extended at the federal level and the challenges facing renters and rentees, the people who rent places out. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Mitch stays with us from the UW-Madison Law School. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Mitch, clinical law professor and director of UW-Madison's Economic Justice Institute, talking about what the ongoing federal evictions ban means for renters and property owners here in Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions, maybe your experiences. 800-642-1234 is the number. Let's go to our callers now. Lindsay is with us in Madison. Lindsay, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I had a question. I work with a lot of families that are in this situation and have seen where landlords have gotten thousands and thousands of dollars of rental assistance in the previous round and then still threatened to evict them if they don't meet that amount. And I'm wondering if there's any protections for tenants that are tied to the funding in regards to if the idea of of the money is to prevent eviction, but if the landlords take the money and then still proceed with eviction.
Got it, Lindsay. Thanks. Mitch, what do you say?
Yeah, there absolutely is. So just in general, anytime anyone fills out what would be called a sort of false federal claim, there's an existing federal law for making fraudulent claims on to receive government money. And with the moratorium, I believe the penalty was authorized up to $250,000, which is a significant penalty, right, for falsely taking some rent money. So you'd absolutely, if this is something, first off, thank you, Lindsay, for helping out renters and families. And this is something that if you're getting reports of this. It's something that you would want to report probably to the local United States attorney, right? That would be sort of the federal prosecutor. So the U.S. Attorney's Office would be one good place to go to, because they are typically the enforcement mechanism for violations of federal law. So that's who I would ring up and report these instances to.
Thanks for calling in, Lindsay. We'll go to John next in Eau Claire. John, hi.
Hi. I just had a question. Like, I guess during the pandemic, right, we kind of have this moratorium, but I guess my question is, what is the backside of this going to look like? And what is the, you know, downstream consequences of, you know, all the second, third order effects when people start, you know, having to, you know, either face like a reduced income or whatever post-pandemic? Like, is anybody really talking or concerned about that, you know?
John, thanks for the call. And I've heard concerns, Mitch, in particular about, okay, if there's a moratorium, you just keep falling further and further behind on your rent. Even the additional federal assistance isn't letting people come up. So at some point, the moratorium ends and people are pretty behind with their rent. And what happens then?
Right. That's why it's really important what we're seeing and what everybody needs to be sort of pushing their representatives and leaders for is rental assistance that goes hand in hand with any moratorium. Because every business takes a hit, right? Every business has taken a hit. You know, if it falls solely on the property owners, you know, who when the moratorium ends, they lash back out and kick out renters, that is going to lead to secondary and tertiary consequences. So the key thing is that we are seeing now there's another $25 billion in rental assistance coming at the federal level that's going to trickle out to states. It's not enough, right? That's not enough for, you know, the entire nation. One thing that could be pushed for, if you were thinking about, like, how do we deal with something like this? Should the pandemic go on or should we face another pandemic? Would be to say, you know, if only there were some program that was already in place, which provided rental assistance for folks who couldn't pay rent or lost their job or had a reduction in income. And the truth is that we actually have two programs that do that. We have unemployment insurance and we have Section 8. Both of those programs are vastly underfunded and aren't really equipped for this situation, but they could be expanded so that we wouldn't be back into this sort of herky-jerky stop-start moratorium without funding, extension of the moratorium with some funding. You know, we could think about a smart policy that expands either Section 8 or unemployment benefits, or maybe both, in such a way that when there is a mass reduction in income, that there's money made available automatically so that we don't have to, you know, we don't have to reinvent the wheel next time.
Time for one more call. Ron is with us calling from Eau Claire. Ron, hello.
Hi. What do you do with somebody that takes advantage of the system? She was struggling for quite a while, and all of a sudden when she found out she can't get evicted, she just stopped paying. And, of course, she has gotten her stimulus check, which she was going to pay us with, but now she don't want to use that. She just, what do you do with somebody like that?
Ron,
yeah,
thanks
I
for the call.
That.
Go ahead, Mitch.
Go ahead. I would take that person and I would say, hey, look, you know, like, let's go together and explain why whatever stimulus money you received wasn't enough. You know, I'm assuming that the person probably had some things that they needed to spend that on. There's very few folks, particularly Midwest sort of pride that everybody has here in Wisconsin, that want to take advantage of one another. You know, one or two may do this and we end up, you know, sort of citing the exception and thinking maybe that's the rule. But you have to work with one another, resist that sort of urge to sort of say, oh, if you didn't pay, I'm going to evict you. Instead, say, hey, you know what? It looks like you're struggling. Let's go together and contact our local representatives. Let's push for more aid. Let's explain the situation. You got this stimulus check and it's not enough. And you're struggling. And now I'm your property owner and I'm struggling. And together we're multiple votes. So send us more aid, expand these programs. That's what you do.
Thanks a lot for that call. Looking at long term, Mitch, and how this could all affect the rental housing market, what kind of things are you watching for, maybe worried about in the months and years to come?
You know, again, my hope is, my worry is that we don't learn from this and that we just, you know, keep on putting on little band-aids that surprise us with, you know, a brief extension here or a brief extension there. There was a fantastic article today published in the New York Times about the unemployment system and how it was a great way to address mass unemployment during the Great Depression, but it's languished and no longer fits the bill. So we could learn to build a better system so that when inevitably we have another sort of outbreak or other type of issue in the future, we don't struggle as much as we did. That's what we owe to all future generations, is to learn from these hardships and make it better for them. And the way we do that is we build a more resilient system and learn from this.
Mitch, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you.
Mitch is a clinical law professor and director of the Economic Justice Institute at the UW-Madison Law School. He talked with us today about what the federal evictions ban has meant for property owners and renters here in the state. President Biden extended that ban through an executive order yesterday and now is set to expire at the end of March instead of the end of January as originally scheduled.